golden ark. I got really concerned about the rain. But you know, one thing the rain has done for me is I haven't had to mow the grass for the last 3 days. And so that's a good thing, because you know how much I love to mow grass. But you know what? As sunny as it is outside, it is more than that inside. Amen. We are here to worship the sun, aren't we? And so I want you to stand with me as I read Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Father, we thank you for your word today. And I pray, Holy God, that you would implant the words into our heart, that it might produce fruit, that the roots would sink down and grow up and produce the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit that you so desire to put in our lives. Lord, I pray this morning as we look into your word that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. We trust you, Lord, to do what you need to do in each one of our lives. We rejoice in your presence in this place today. And we bow in awe. Lord, guide us, direct us, and lead us in obedience. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Go ahead and be seated. You know, I wanted to say this before I began, but I have to say it now. What color did he say this was? If you are a man in this congregation, and when he held this up, you thought of periwinkle, raise your hand. We have no clue about periwinkle. But I'm glad I noticed Mary had a periwinkle Bible today, is that right? In Sunday school class. And I'm glad they're there. I don't care what color they are. The amazing thing is that people are faithful in handing those out. We've been talking about spiritual transformation for a few weeks, and I want to just bring that to your attention today. We've been talking about a vision for the church, transforming our community one heart at a time. And the idea of community doesn't mean just the people who are outside the walls, but the people inside. The people inside the church need to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, before we have any kind of an influence outside. And so this is a psalm that David wrote after his sin with Bathsheba. You remember the story. Chapter 11, David was supposed to be out on the battlefield, but he stayed home. He walked out on the balcony and saw across the way a beautiful woman taking a bath or shower. And he sent for someone wherever he was living. He sent that person over and brought her back to his place of residence. My mind is gone somewhere else today, so I hope you forgive that. Palace, that's a good word, palace. So anyway, she came back to the palace. I got it right, Kyle? And he committed adultery with her. And when the outcome of that adultery was that she became pregnant. And so David sent for Uriah, her husband, brought him back from the fight, tried to convince him to go home with his wife, but he was an honorable man and would not. He even got him drunk, but still Uriah would not go home. So David told Joab, his general, put him in the place where the fighting is the worst and then withdraw. And so Uriah was killed. So David, the man after God's own heart, committed adultery and murder. And Nathan came to him and confronted him with his sin. And being confronted, David said, I am the man. And here's the psalm he wrote as a result. Have mercy, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly. The first thing that has to happen, the first thing that happened in David's life was he realized his sin. And that's the same thing that needs to happen with us. You know, we so easily gloss over our sin. It is easy to see sin in others. It's not so easy to see it in ourselves. And we need to get to the point in our lives where our sin becomes real. And our sin begins to trouble us. And I'm not talking about unbelievers here. I'm talking about those who have professed faith in Christ. Because what needs to happen in your life and in mine is the spiritual transformation that only God can do. I guess the question is and always will be, are we willing to let God do that work in our lives? Sometimes we get comfortable with God, don't we? Sometimes we become casual in our relationship. Sometimes we neglect our relationship with God. And when we do that, sin begins to creep in. And the longer we neglect our relationship with God, the greater sin's hold on our life is. And we begin to do things that we thought we would never do again. Or we begin to think in ways that we thought were past. Or we begin to act in ways. You know, anybody in here but me have a problem with anger? Whew, man. I don't think there are enough anger management classes in the world. And sometimes, you know what I find out in my own life is when I am moving closer to God, that anger isn't so much on the front burner. But if I begin to walk away, or if I begin to turn my back, or if I begin to neglect my relationship with God, bam, up jumps anger. And up jumps the devil, but that's not the problem. The devil's not the problem in this. The devil is me quenching the Holy Spirit, pushing down the Holy Spirit. The whole problem began in here and in here. And so what has to happen is I have to be continually transformed spiritually by the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart, we're going to get to in just a minute. David realizes his sin. And so you and I need to take some time, some more than just 5 minutes or 10 minutes or something we can just spare over there. We need to set aside a period of time where we can talk to God and ask God to reveal our sin to us. You know, your sin is not mine. Mine is probably not yours. But each one of us have sin in our lives. Sin that can be and needs to be changed by spiritual transformation. Something else that happens here after David realizes his sin is that he repents. That's important for us. When we're confronted with sin, are we willing to repent? Are we willing to be serious with God? I think that a truth for me, I hate pain. I hate all kinds of pain. I hate physical pain. I hate emotional pain. And the pain I hate the most is spiritual. Because when God begins to work in my life to cut away some of the things that ought not to be there, here's what's true of me, and I'm guessing if it's true of me, it's true of a lot of us, that we get to a point in our lives where we say to God, okay, God, you can come this far, but no farther. And we begin to build walls around our hearts, or our hearts begin to be calloused, and we don't want God to go any further into our lives than the surface stuff. But every once in a while, the Holy Spirit begins to convict us, and he begins to break the walls down. He begins to cut the callous away. He begins to do spiritual surgery in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not what I would look for, that I'm looking for in my life. Because when God begins that spiritual surgery, it causes pain in here. And that pain is an opportunity for growth. If I never experienced that kind of spiritual pain, I would never look to God. I would never go to Him and say, God, I need You. I want You to help me get through this. And several years ago, I did a timeline of my life. And I looked back over this, and here's where I started, and here's where I am. Every period of spiritual growth, with one exception. The exception was right after I became a Christian. Every period of spiritual growth in my life came after a significantly painful experience. A spiritual pain. Jerry's gone through experiencing God now. I've gone through experiencing God for me. I've led experiencing God. And truth is, I will do that again. I don't want to. Because whenever I lead experiencing God, God does something in my life that causes me to look to Him in a greater way. He begins to cut away the callous and to break down the walls. And there is always that spiritual pain that comes. And I tell people that do this study. It's the best one I've ever seen. But expect that there's going to be spiritual pain in your life, because what God wants to do for all of us is found in Romans 8:29, to conform us to the image of His Son. We don't want to go there, but we need to go there. Spiritual transformation. Being transformed, being changed from what we are, being changed into the image of God. That is spiritual transformation. And that is something every one of us needs. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 60 years or you've been a Christian for 6 weeks. Each one of us needs to be spiritually transformed and be changed in the image of God. But I am grateful that when we realize our sin, there is always forgiveness. God didn't leave David alone. God changed his heart. God forgave David. God exercised His mercy and His grace because of His divine love. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. That's exactly what God does when we confess our sin. In the New Testament, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you believe that this morning? My, oh my. To cleanse us, to wash it completely away. That word justified simply means justification, just as if I never sinned. That's the way you can look at it. He makes us completely righteous in Christ. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. New things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He understands God's forgiveness, and God forgives him. You know, anybody, you've read this, I'm sure. You've read this study, or this psalm, haven't you? How many of you have read Psalm 51? Y'all better have your hands up, because that's reading the scripture, right? This one thing, I wonder if we thought about it. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. What in the world is hyssop? I mean, Kyle, I don't ask you these questions because I know you know. There are certain people in this room that know. For example, several months ago, maybe a year ago, that hymn, I can't remember off the top of my head, Here I Raise My Ebenezer. We've sung that a long time, haven't we? Rick asked the question, how many of you know what an Ebenezer is? Shouldn't we do that kind of study? Shouldn't we know? A hyssop is of the mint family. It is a bush. And the branches are so stiff that it is a good tool to dip in the blood and sprinkle it. It was used to purify lepers. David says, purge me with hyssop, the blood of the sacrifice. Purge me and I shall be clean. Isn't that what happens with us? It is the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, His blood saves us from our sin. His blood cleanses us from our sin. It is a picture. This cleanse me with hyssop, purify me with hyssop. This is a picture of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which is given, poured out for my sin and for yours, so that we might have eternal life, so that we might be forgiven in Christ. I think it's in 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God, and the blood of his Son cleanses us. It means a continual cleansing. If we walk with him, there is a continual cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you sense the urgency of David's confession, of his prayer? Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David is crying out to God for forgiveness. That forgiveness comes after repentance. I'm not talking about just surface repentance. Anybody can say, I'm sorry, God, and walk away and still do the same old stuff. What David is talking about here is a deep-seated cleansing that comes from the inside out that changes our lives once and forever. And David is praying, God, do this in my life. When's the last time you and I, when's the last time I went before God and say and begged him, God, take this sin away. Change me from the inside out. Because that's what needs to happen. If we're going to be spiritually transformed, that is what is going to have to happen, not just for me, but for every one of us. We need to be spiritually transformed. Something else we need to realize, verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Well, let's take a look at that. Didn't David's sin affect Bathsheba? Didn't it affect Uriah? Didn't it affect others? But here's the truth. Our sin first affects our relationship with God. And we need to realize that our sin is against God first and foremost. I was talking to Jerry this morning before his class, and he was talking about, I asked him how his week was, and he was talking about his work week and his family week and things that are happening spiritually in his life. And here's the truth. I've said it before. You know the truth. Every once in a while we need to hear it again. If this relationship isn't right, if this vertical relationship with God is not right, then the relationship horizontally with everyone else will also be in trouble. We need to be in right relationship with God. We need to realize that we sin. When we sin against God. And there is fallout in other areas of our life. If I sin against God, then my relationship with my wife cannot be right. If I sin against God, my relationship with Jerry can't be right. If there is unconfessed sin, we need to spend time before God and repent. That kind of repentance that changes our lives, that changes the direction of our lives. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Repentance and renewal. God, change me. Cleanse my heart. When I was reading this week, I was reminded of a passage in Jeremiah. You don't need to turn there. As a matter of fact, it's Jeremiah chapter 23, verses, chapter 13, verses 23 and 24. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to evil. I will scatter you like chaff driven by the wind from the desert. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard change his spots? Listen, I don't care what color as a human being I want to be. I'm stuck with this one. Right? I can't change the color of my skin. Neither can a leopard change his spots. There are three enzymes in the work of cats and leopards and others that work together to make stripes or spots or other variations of color. Three. If the leopard was going to change his spots, all three of those enzymes would have to be changed. He cannot do it. If I'm going to change the color of my skin, everything about it that makes me a Caucasian would have to change. I can't do that. But here's the truth. God can. God can change those enzymes in a leopard. God can change my heart. God can change me from a heart that is prone to do evil to a heart that is prone to praise Him. God can do that. That's spiritual transformation. Changing us from what we were into the image of God. Boy, that's where we all need to be, isn't it? That's what needs to happen in each one of our lives. Then look at the result of this. It was, as a matter of fact, David's resolve first. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and let my and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my mouth, and my mouth will declare your praise. What did David resolve to do? He experienced the forgiveness of God. Didn't he realize his sin? He experienced the forgiveness of God, and then he made a resolution. God, because you've done this, I am going to tell others. That's why the Gideons exist, isn't it? That's why we as a church need to exist, because we've experienced the power of God in the inner man through the work of the Holy Spirit. And as God changes us from the inside out, we ought to praise Him. We ought to worship Him. And there is a difference. I will sing aloud of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. And you will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken, broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. And verse 19 says this, but then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. But when David says, then you will delight in right sacrifices, David's not talking about the lamb being brought to the altar. David's not talking about the doves coming and being made a sacrifice. David is talking about his own life. His own life. Then you will delight as I sacrifice my life to you. I will give up everything I am, God, and I will give up everything I have and lay myself on your altar as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Which means that transformation has happened in our lives, and we determine through the power of the Holy Spirit to live our lives completely differently. I wonder if we've done that. If we have laid ourselves on His altar. If we have sacrificed everything we are and everything we have. Everything we will be and everything we will ever have to Him. I wonder sometimes if we've made Him the Lord of our lives. If He is the one who sits on the throne of our lives. Or if we let Him there every once in a while and then we kind of brush Him aside. And we take control back. David's a man just like we are. Sin just like we do. But he cried out to God in repentance. And asked God, begged God to forgive him, and God did that. Everything begins with spiritual transformation. Everything. If we're going to change our lives, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to change us from what we were and conform us into the image of God. If this church is ever going to be transformed, it's going to happen one person at a time. It won't happen just because Marty was transformed or Jamie was transformed or because Leanne was transformed. The only way this church will ever change is if each one of us, each individual that belongs to this church will be transform, will allow the Holy Spirit to transform them from what they were, sometimes from what we are, into the image of His Son. Spiritual transformation has to take place. Now we have some slides that I just want us to work through. Help us out, John. We had a couple meetings a few months ago. And we walked through this process of what we thought the church was and what we came to realize who we were. And we talked about a number of things, and we left both those meetings with this idea to serve Christ, the church, and the community, but we never put that in cement as our vision statement. What we said was we will take that back and we'll pray about it. And we have been, the elders and deacons have been praying about a vision statement for months, long before we ever brought it to you. And we took what you said to serve Christ, our church, and the community, and took it back, go to the next slide, and came up with the idea of transforming our community one heart at a time. We can serve Christ, can't we? But it'll never happen until our lives are transformed. We can serve the church, but it will never happen until our lives are transformed. We can serve our community, but it will never happen until our lives are transformed. So, go ahead. Serving Christ fits under the umbrella of transforming our community one heart at a time. Next, serving the church comes under that umbrella. Everything needs to fit under the umbrella of transforming our community one heart at a time. What's the next one? Community. Serving Christ, isn't that what we said? Serving the church, serving the community under the umbrella of transforming our community one heart at a time. And the word transformation is absolutely key. It is the essence of everything we'll do. We need to be transformed individually. And as we are transformed individually, that's something that can be caught. That spirit can be caught by others and let as they allow God to transform their hearts. Transform them into the image of Christ. Give me the next one, John. We talked about this last week. Do not be conformed to this world, but be, what's the word? Transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're transformed, and then we are able to discern the will of God. And so if transformation doesn't happen, we will never understand the will of God. What does God want to do in this church? At First Baptist Church of Gahanna, I'm not worried about the church next door. I'm not worried about the church across town. I'm not worried about the churches that way. What I'm concerned about is what does God want to do here? It begins with spiritual transformation. Next verse. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Imagine that. We are being transformed from one degree to another. To another, to another, by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We call that spiritual growth. We call that sanctification, becoming more like Him. Give me the next one. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what? He's a new creation. He's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's a definition of spiritual transformation, isn't it? Here's what I was. Here's what I am. Through the power and work of the Holy Spirit. Give me the next one, John. We read this verse this morning. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Is that your desire? It needs to be. God, here is what I'm doing. Here is what you want me to do. Create in me a clean heart. That's my prayer. That ought to be the prayer of each one of us. Create in me a clean heart. Next. Search me, O God, and know my heart. How many of you are willing to say, okay, search me, O God, and know my heart? Anybody? Get on your knees. It's time. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous, some translations say wicked, any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Rick sent me this verse this week and he was reading and said, that might fit. What do you think? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I promise you, if we ask God to do that, He'll do it. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Okay, John. Talked about the caterpillar last week. The caterpillar becomes the butterfly. Let me give you some information about the caterpillar I just found out this week. On Wednesday night in Digging Deeper, Rick brought up the idea. Do you know what the caterpillar does before he goes into the cocoon? He eats and he eats and he eats and he eats because he's going to be in there for a while. Maybe I'm going into my cocoon. But here's what happens with the caterpillar. He goes inside that cocoon and he eats himself away. He dissolves his body. So that scientists say that if you cut open that chrysalis, that cocoon, while that caterpillar's in there, that what will come out is caterpillar soup. But while he is dissolving himself, there are certain enzymes that remain. And those enzymes reproduce and he becomes a butterfly. What a transformation. Here's the deal. In our sin, in the wickedness of our hearts, we enter into a time with God. And in that time with God, we allow the Holy Spirit to dissolve the sin that is in us and to build us up into the butterfly, into someone who is dependent upon God. We enter as the caterpillar. We emerge as the butterfly. Next slide. Back, John. We were also asked this question on Wednesday night. Can a butterfly return to the cocoon? No, you're absolutely right. Should God's people return to their sin? We've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We no longer live the way we did. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Spiritual transformation. Next slide. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. God is searching for us. God is looking for hearts of people, men and women and children, whose heart is completely His. And what's it say about that? To give strong support to those whose hearts are completely His. God's desire is for us to be spiritually transformed. Verse after verse after verse we've seen this morning. We came out of those meetings with these things: to serve God, to serve Jesus, to serve the church, and to serve the community. But none of those things happen without being transformed. Transforming our community one heart at a time. And when we do that, we will serve Jesus. We will serve the church. And we will serve our community. There can be no other result. If our hearts are transformed, we will do exactly what we've talked about. Does that make sense? Michael. Michael's going to talk to us just a few minutes about what God's been doing in his life.
On switch works better. So before I go into that real quick, Mr. Jerry Scott, thank you for being here. And the reason why I say that, I don't hear hardly anything about the Gideons anymore. There are three.